Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello and welcome back to PCI's podcast. I'm Neil Harrison and I'm your host for this episode. Part of my role within the denomination is to coordinate PCI's Urban Mission Network, which is an initiative to encourage and equip those ministering in a full-time or part-time role in an urban mission context. Primarily, this includes inner city housing areas and housing estates that often experience social deprivation. Back in June, I took a group of 13 ministers over to a summer conference organised by London City Mission. So today we want to reflect a little on that experience, as well as have a conversation about some of the challenges that are unique to urban ministry, and also the huge opportunities there are for churches to show and share the love of Christ to a community in need. So I'm delighted to welcome to the podcast Felix Aramo, Training Manager for London City Mission, Reverend Richard McElhattan from Christchurch Dundonald, and Jason Syme, the Community Outreach Worker in Alexandra Presbyterian. At the end of this conversation, we'll hear a short interview with Mary Leshy from PCI's congregation in Galway, who was part of our Impact Programme in August, which sent teams to serve in three different urban churches around Belfast. But to get things started, can I ask you to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about what you do and the church that you're part of? So let's start with Richard.
I'm Richard McElhattan. I'm married to Julie. We have two boys, Isaac's 10 and Reuben is 8. I come from Carrick originally, where Downshire is my home church, and I'm the minister of Christchurch Presbyterian in Dundonald. I've been here for 13 years, and our church just sits on the edge of Ballybean Estate, which is the second largest housing estate in Northern Ireland.
And Jason?
Yeah, my name's Jason Syme. I'm the community mission worker at Alexandra Presbyterian Church on the York Road in North Belfast. So that's about just a bit more than a mile away from the city centre. So we're dealing with lots of working class families in that area.
Thanks, Jason. And Felix?
Hey, I'm Felix. Yeah, married with two boys who are full of energy. And I'm part of a church in central London, a place called Waterloo. I've been there for 3 years. Before that, I was co-leading a church in South London, an area called Brixton.
For any listeners who are unfamiliar with the work of London City Mission, can you give us an overview of its work and how your role fits into that?
It's good that I work for them, because I do really love the organisation. So we're focused on coming alongside churches, supporting and encouraging churches as they seek to reach out to their communities. So sharing the love of God, sharing the good news of Jesus with people. But our distinctive thing is to encourage churches to reach out to those who are least likely to hear the gospel, least likely to walk into church, least likely to have a Christian friend, for various reasons. And often our missionaries have greater experience, working with particular groups of people, whether they're homeless or maybe they're ex-offenders or maybe they're from a particular religious background. We want to act as cheerleaders for churches, encouraging them to say, yeah, you can actually do this, you can actually reach out. And yeah, it's been a joy to be part of London City Mission for the past 5 years. My role is to train our missionaries, so to ensure that our missionaries are deeply rooted in the gospel, that all that they do is flows from their own relationship with the Lord Jesus. Also to encourage them in that to truly love the church, to love the local church, rather than falling into that trap that evangelists can have, where really loving non-Christians but somewhat frustrated with their church. And then also encouraging them to improve their skills when it comes to reaching out to non-Christians as well. So all three of those dimensions I'm involved in training them.
Felix, that's great to hear that bit of wider context about the work of London City Mission and your role there. Richard, back in June, you were part of a group of ministers from PCI's Urban Mission Network that travelled to London City Mission for 3 days. Can you give us an overview of that experience and maybe one or two highlights that stood out to you?
Yeah, my wife did a year out with London City Mission about 20 years ago. and I've spoken very fondly of them ever since. He's been back a few times. And so when the chance came up for us to be able to go over and see the work of LCM, I was glad to be part of that. It was really full 3 days. We started off early on the Monday morning and were at LCM by lunchtime. And then we had a mix of Bible teaching and training, and then site visits across the 3 days. The training elements covered things like knowing and understanding your urban community, hospitality, developing local leaders, working with people who are homeless. So we're training on those areas, and then out into the site visits, seeing evangelism on the street in the heart of an urban community, seeing a centre where the, just as Felix has mentioned about the working together of the London City mission workers and the local church working together to reach the local community, and then on the last day going to see a homeless centre where people receive practical support along with a clear gospel message. I think one of the things that stood out for me from LCM was the real gospel-centeredness of the work. And it sounds an obvious thing to say, but it was very much up front and central in everything that was going on. Just that sense of urgency, that people need to hear the good news about Jesus, and the passion to do that in appropriate ways and in ways that were really connecting with people. I just fear that sometimes that I can be a wee bit too cautious, where you want to build relationships with people, you want to build up credibility, and those things are important and valuable to do, but sometimes you can spend so long doing that that you're hesitant to really get on to the gospel and the clear message of that. So it's trying to get that balance of building connections with people in a meaningful way, but also pressing on to share the reason for the hope that is in us. The other highlight for me of the trip was being together with a group of ministers from a range of urban settings. I've been glad to be part of the Urban Mission Network over the last few years, and it's good when we have a couple of times each year when we can get together and meet for a few hours and share together. It's great to be able to do that. But to go away for 3 days and have all the opportunities around the formal parts of the programme to chat together, to deepen relationships with people, just to understand a bit more about what others are going through locally as well. It was great to do that, and that only came into its own really by the residential of being away for that. And there was a good bit of crack with it as well. It was good fun to be away for those times with the guys as well. So it was a great experience overall.
It was great a few days. I have to say, as kind of leader of that trip, when we all turned up at the airport, I definitely felt less like an 18-30 trip. It was more like a 40 to 60 plus trip, but the crack was good, and it definitely was a great few days spent away together. Felix, in many ways, the conference was shaped around the needs of PCI and Urban Mission, and you really helpfully gave us the opportunity to shape that. But what stands out to you from those 3 days, and what did you observe to be some of the similarities or maybe differences between the Irish and London context?
I was really struck by the characters you brought over. You're a great group, and it was really good to get to know you. And I felt like I was with brothers who love Jesus and are eager to make him known. And in terms of similarities, I think ministry's challenging everywhere, you know, and often we're looking for, I mean, we're wise enough not to look for silver bullets, but, you know, after a few years in a particular place, or even if we're just arriving somewhere new, we want to make sure that we're fully armed, or that we're trying new things, that we're adapting ourselves and our ministries, you know, to the people that we're actually encountering, and that, you know, changes from decade to decade and generation to generation. So yeah, I felt I was amongst brothers who were asking important questions about what does faithful ministry look like in the context that I'm in. I think one difference that was clear to me was that London's a pretty unique place globally, but in terms of the level of diversity that you get in a place like London, you know, that doesn't automatically transfer elsewhere. But there are other sorts of diversity. There are other cultural, social barriers that need to be overcome in order to effectively share the gospel with people. Yeah, so I thought that, you know, perhaps the extent to which that is true in London is different, but, you know, just that need to share the gospel across gender lines, in terms of across age differentials. You know, there's a unique situation in Ireland and Northern Ireland where you're having to deal with, you know, loyalist and unionist and, you know, Protestant Catholic divides as well. So we're all seeking to do ministry in challenging situations, and we're all needing to cross cultural, social barriers in order to make Jesus known. And so, yeah, it was good to get together and to think about those things.
I think those observations are helpful, I guess, around, you know, the similarities and the differences in the two contexts, and ultimately the same goal of sharing the love of God in our actions, but also in our words, to let people know and understand the good news of Christ. Jason, you've been very quiet so far. We haven't kind of come to you yet, but you've been in your role in inner city North Belfast now for almost a year. And what are some of the challenges that you're experiencing in your ministry that may not be unique to urban areas, but maybe they're more obvious and widespread? How are you, along with the congregation, trying to respond to those and bring some hope?
Yeah, a lot of this stuff might sound quite familiar to other churches and is maybe just a bit more pronounced in the city, and in particular Belfast. One thing I think a lot of Belfast churches are seeing is that a lot of members of the congregation wouldn't actually live in the community surrounding them. And in PCI, this probably comes from demographic changes, where there were so many more houses in the inner city, you know, 100 years ago, that just aren't there anymore. And people have moved outside of the city. And in a way, it's really encouraging that those people are still coming to the churches that they grew up in. They still want to support those churches and be good witnesses in the city. But there is occasionally a little bit of a disconnect between, I suppose, the community around the church and the community within the church. You know, even just silly things like knowing there might have been an incident down the road or something happening with a local family who may not have a connection with the church. A couple of the other things that you might see is sometimes having trouble moving people on from our organizations into the church family. You know, so many churches would have a really strong BB and GB, and yet we struggle to take the next step and be able to get those people in the church that's more than just coming to certain special services like an enrollment service or Remembrance Day service. Something that struck me and something I've been thinking about a lot over the summer is communication with other churches. There's a church literally over the road from us, a Methodist church, and I don't know what they run on a weekly basis. I don't know what they have going on. And even with some of the other Presbyterian churches close to us, I don't know if they're doing the same thing as us. I don't know if they're doing something different. Some of it has started to improve a little bit. I've been trying to make some connections. And, you know, for example, at the end of August, there was a community fair held actually at Seaview Football Ground. And there was someone there from Seaview Presbyterian who handed us a pile of flyers and asked if we could give those out as part of our stuff. So we just had to make clear this is not offered by us, but, you know, it is offered by, you know, another church down the road. That was actually English language classes. And it's great because, as far as I'm aware, no one else in the area is doing that. The other big challenge, which I think is a challenge for most places, is learning how to work within the confines of the space you have available and the leaders you have available. I think a lot of churches will have a core group of volunteers who are motivated and try to do a lot, and maybe they do a bit too much at times. And then you're working with the actual physical space you have as well. We at Alexandra don't have a car park. We need to be aware of that when we're trying to plan events and having maybe people come from far away. So some of the things we're trying to do to combat this, the first one is probably a bit less evangelical, but more trying to model what Jesus did and be a presence in the community. So for example, over the summer, we ran a school uniform project. We partnered with a charity called Redeeming Our Communities, or ROC, and they ran a few of those across the city that were really successful. But during the course of the 2 days that we were distributing uniforms, we helped around, I think it was 135 kids from around 65 families. And there were some faces I recognized of people who live around the area, and there were people I didn't know at all. But I think everyone recognized that Alexandra Presbyterian was trying to tackle what was a very practical need at the time over the summer. In addition to that, there's been stuff that's happening before I started at Alexandra, and it's case of me trying to filter into that a wee bit. Stuff like our Free Food Friday table, which is partnered with Fair Share. We get stuff that's close to its use-by date from a local supermarket and just put it on a table on a Friday. People can come and take what they want. No questions asked. No, you don't need to present a food bank voucher or anything. And one of the things that's been going for a long time in North Belfast is a project called Nightlight. It's not an Alexandra ministry. There's a couple of different churches involved with that, but it's headed up by one of our elders, a guy called Lawrence Wallace. and they just have a caravan out on the shore road every other Friday between 10 and I think they stay at 2 in the morning. You know, they'll give out gospel tracts, they'll chat to people, they'll pray with people. And I've heard great stories of people coming to faith through that, and people who have started coming to Alexandra and some of the other local churches. I've just tried to filter in with that and support the team that's there. And, you know, they know if they really need someone to come down, I can come down and help them. The other thing we're trying to do, something I'm trying to do, is add a few one-off events, stuff that's not going to put a strain on our existing leadership, because we actually have quite a full calendar in terms of space, reason in the church and those volunteering. But adding things like messy church that you can maybe do a couple of times a year, it's good for outreach. I think it's very accessible for people who maybe don't have a lot of experience with church life. And things like the school uniform project, which obviously happens once a year. I think it's stuff that reaches out into the community, gives us a good chance to share the gospel, and is able to make the best of our physical resources and the leaders and volunteers that we have available to it.
Thanks so much, Jason, for sharing that. It really struck me whenever you started to talk about that idea of being a presence in the community. And I know you said, look, it might not seem overly evangelistic, but you know, it's really, really important. And I think you'll notice the impact of those in the community, in terms of, you know, that opportunity to build connections and trust between the congregation and the wider community through things like the school uniform project. I thought that was excellent. I spotted that on Facebook over the summer, and I thought that's a really, really good initiative for a local congregation to be part of. So thanks for sharing that with us. Richard, you've been rooted in Ballybean now for more than a decade, and how has the congregation's witness in the community developed during your ministry? And how much of that do you think is helped by a consistency of leadership? We've just talked about a church's presence in the community, so I think you've a little bit more time under your belt to kind of give us a bit more experience of that from your perspective.
Yeah, well, Christchurch has been, well, it's been there 57 years. It was started at the same time as the new houses within Ballybean, and very much part of that, and has a long history of connecting into the local community. But there is the danger over time of becoming a bit detached from that. And I think partly where we sit on the edge of the estate, we're not right at the heart of it, so people aren't so necessarily aware of us as they are maybe if there's another Church of Ireland in the middle of the estate that people would see more visibly. And so part of what we've tried to do over my time is to open the place up and invite people in as far as we can. So we've run some big community fun days. The last of those was there at the Queen's Jubilee in June. We ran that jointly with some of the other local churches, and with between 800 and 1,000 people come through our church on that Friday afternoon. Other things we do, it ties in with what Jason has talked about. What we've seen from those sorts of days, we see then an increase in terms of the like of GB numbers increasing through people becoming aware of the church, of where our Friday night youth and children's work that has unfortunately hasn't returned after COVID. But in the years before that, we saw that grow from a small number to quite a few young people from the local area coming in on a Friday night, and then into summer schemes and so on. We've seen all of that benefit from it. But the challenge again, is, as Jason was saying, is how you progress on from those either one-off events or youth and children's events, and how you connect on from that into then other activity, into families and parents, and then on to opportunity to share the gospel more directly with people. So we have done things like a mum's group running alongside the children's programme, and we've done Messy Church over a number of years, and have a good contacts have been built up through that. It is a long-term work for those things, that from the initial contact with people to seeing it coming through to more fruit coming as a result of that. But over the time, when you're there long enough, you see some encouragements and progression through. From just thinking of one example of a person who was invited along by a member of our church, was invited along to some activity within the church, came along to that, started coming more regularly to the church, then came to faith, and then progressed now on into leadership within some of our outreach work as well. So it's nice over a period of time to see that go full circle, in a sense, from reaching out to people to those people then getting involved with that work of reaching out. And that's the sort of thing you see over the longer term. Within the 13 years that I've been there, you see progress and encouragements, but also the challenge of more to do. You never get to a point of having arrived or having got it all worked out. And it still is that challenge of how to go from those initial connections that start to build on then to effective encounters for people to encounter Jesus more effectively. It's hard still to move that across, but it's an ongoing work. But in terms of the long-term work, I think both within the church and the wider community, the long-term consistency does have benefits. where it gives a sense of value to the work. I think when you stay over a period of time, people see that there's value in the ministry, that it's not just about going somewhere for a short period almost as a stepping stone before you get on to somewhere else that seems better. And you know, I know of others who have spoken of that, people have said to them, well, when are you moving on to somewhere better or somewhere different? And it's not about that, it's about the value of the work that's going on. I think the long term gives a sense of that. I'm also working over the longer term gives a sense of credibility and a stabilising influence within the community. So we're a member group of Ballybean Improvement Group, a local community association that's an umbrella for a whole variety of different groups that come under that. And just by nature of the time I've been here, I'm the longest serving director within that. And the influence of the churches have brought stability to that, and the group may otherwise at certain points have folded if it hadn't been for our input to it. And it's a very useful thing within the wider community. But then on the other side of that, it means that we're well poised to be able to help. So within Ballybean recently and the wider community locally, there have been a couple of quite untimely deaths, you know, without saying much more about that, but for different reasons amongst younger men. And we are then now in a position with the wider community association that we're hoping next week that we're starting up a new men's group that will be hosted in our church but run by the community. And so you have the build-up of that to allow for a sense of partnership for those things to work together, where we're able to be of service to the community and help in a practical sense, with the hope then that it will create greater gospel opportunities for us, but it's of service to the community alongside that. And when you're there over the longer term, you get your feet well enough under the table that you're able to do that, because sometimes there is a sense of suspicion if you're new and you're not from around the area, that people take a wee while just to trust you and to work alongside. So working over the long time really helps with that, and it helps people to see that you care, that you're invested in the area, that a lot of the things that they're caring about, that you're working with them in that as well, that you care about as well. And it also helps them with the message that we're seeking to share, that we show that over the longer term, that gives them a greater opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with people as well.
That's really helpful, Richard, just to hear some of those insights. And I kind of feel there's lots of different threads there coming together. And I think some of that's probably going to be hopefully an encouragement and help to Jason as well. But you talked about the relational aspect of the work that happens over a long period of time, the credibility and stability that comes from being there over the long term, and then that idea of kind of partnership and how those partnership opportunities grow actually the longer that you're invested in ministry there. So thanks for sharing that, and for that kind of story as well that you added in there. Felix, most LCM missionaries are serving within local churches. Can you share a couple of stories of the work that they're involved in that's having a gospel impact within those communities? I'm very conscious, I suppose, that you're in a very different context. And a different context calls for different practices, but hopefully within that there's a few principles that you can maybe highlight that'll be helpful for urban mission within our Irish context.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, everything we do as an organisation, we seek to do in partnership with local churches. And there's one church in Vauxhall which we visited as part of the conference, and you know, part of the bread and butter for that ministry in terms of outreach is knocking on doors, just going door to door, you know, month by month, going back to the same doors and seeing who's behind and whether they're up for a conversation. And one story which I always find encouraging when I think about it is of a woman called Anne, and she, you know, she's lived in Vauxhall for 30 years on the same estate, and she'd given up on church. But when a missionary knocked on her door, they were able to build a relationship, you know, build a friendship, and you know, one day decided to go to church. So she knew that the missionary was, you know, attached to the church. She knew there was a local church there, and so she went, and she felt welcomed. You know, she felt loved, and you know, she came to faith, and now she's actively involved in making Jesus known to others on her estate. So much so that, you know, we at Unsent Mission, we run a training program called the Pioneer Program, where people from backgrounds where they're unable to access theological training, they will come to us, and they will spend one day with us, like in a classroom kind of setting, one day with a missionary, a Lundsey Mission missionary, and one day with their own church, and they'll be serving in their own, amongst, you know, their own local church, you know, reaching out. And so there's one pioneer who started this year, and his placement was with Anne's church, but there were no missionaries there to take him out on the doors. And so Anne actually took him, she was training him to knock on doors to reach out to people. So just an ordinary member of the church, loves Jesus, is growing in faith and in confidence, and now she's involved in training others in mission and ministry, which is just amazing. And yeah, often we come alongside churches and seek to encourage them. You know, what happens is that God's already gone ahead of us, and you know, there've been people who, yeah, they've been Christian, and they've been, yeah, going to church faithfully. But as the importance of mission has been highlighted, God sparked something in them, and you know, now they're actively involved in ways they weren't involved in before. They have a, you know, a new confidence, a new sense that, yeah, as I'm making disciples, Jesus is with me as he promises to be. And that's super exciting as well, what God does, not just in the people that we wish to see saved, but actually what God does in believers is massively exciting and encouraging as well. Just the way that he can reignite us as we engage in his mission. You asked about principles. I guess there are a few which flow from what I've just shared. When Richard was talking, I was really struck by something he said about the importance of patience. That, yeah, time and time again, I hear stories of how people have come to faith, and often from first contact with a church to actually coming into the building on a Sunday, that can take years, let alone coming to faith, which may take even more time beyond that. So, yeah, definitely patience is needed. A couple of other things I could say. I think one is it's so important for Christians to be, yeah, to be rooted in Christ and be rooted in gospel ourselves. I was laughing because I was listening to sermons by Martin Lloyd-Jones recently, and he, you know, he spoke on just how off-putting it is to have miserable Christians going about the place. And you know, we're inviting people to enjoy life at its very best, life with God. You know, this is eternal life that we know God. You know, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you may have life to the full. And so, yeah, it's important that we are ourselves enjoying this life, and then our witness is the overflow of that. And then the last thing I'd say is that I think the best evangelistic tool is always going to be healthy, Christ-like communities. And so ensuring that we are people who genuinely love one another. And, you know, if there's kind of prejudice or social hierarchy in our hearts, that we've brought those before God and we've done the work of uprooting those so that we are better able to embrace people who are different from us and welcome them into the community that we're enjoying ourselves.
Just a real kind of reminder there, I suppose, of the importance of the body of Christ, you know, acting in the way that it's intended to. So good, really, really good to hear some of your experience and some of those stories as well of how that is working itself out within the London setting. Jason, can I ask you just to share a story from your ministry where you feel that you're beginning to see some breakthrough or impact for the gospel?
Yeah, it's not really a story, more just a few layers towards a certain theme, but certainly with children and young people, I think I've been really encouraged over the last few months. We did Messy Church for the first time in Alexandra in May. I think they'd been considering doing something like that before, and just with the pandemic getting in the way, it made it very difficult to do. And with me coming in since October, it was something I could run with and start to organise. But I'm trying to remember how many we had. I think we had 30 or 40 different people there, so maybe 20 or so families. But since then, we had two new families start to come to church. And that was really encouraging, because it told me that when they came, they felt welcomed. They saw this as a place where they could chat to people and where their kids would feel welcome. And that came just from running something primarily organized at kids, but really encouraging that we got that. A couple of weeks ago then, we had a BB weekend, and we went up to Dunluce. We had the whole company there at one stage, but it was company section and junior section. So P5 upwards staying for the whole weekend, and the anchor boys and some of their parents joined us for the Saturday. But I think it was last Sunday or two Sundays ago, one of the boys who was there then told everyone in Sunday school that he decided to become a Christian. He decided to follow God based on something that he'd heard at the BB weekend, which again was really encouraging for me. I did one of the talks at it, but you know yourself, probably you'll do talks and you look around the room and you think, no one's listening to a word I'm saying. But it's really encouraging to me that they're taking stuff in. Now, I don't know if he came to faith actually through one of the talks. Maybe it was from a conversation he had with someone else. Maybe it was hearing just the way the leaders were chatting to each other and saying, actually, these guys are really fun, even though they're Christians. I don't know what it was. He didn't tell us. And I didn't ask. I didn't really want to ask. It wasn't important. The important thing is that whatever happened on that weekend, he decided to give his life to the Lord. And he also told us at the same weekend his granny had decided to make a commitment as well. So again, I don't know the story behind that, but I'm assuming maybe something from what he has said has also pushed her over the line to make that commitment. And just like Felix was saying, that was a case of someone who'd maybe been connected to the church for a while and had not yet taken that step and made that commitment. So seeing that that's happening, it's just really encouraging. And of course, it's not all about numbers, but just when you get that little victory to celebrate, it's really good and really motivating. And then just the other one is with our young people. Again, at Alexandra, I think the youth program was just a bit stagnant during the pandemic. It had kind of reached that natural end where one group of young people were then too old for the youth program and the next group were coming through. And you can look at that as being stagnant at the time, but also it was an opportunity to bring another group of young people through. And over the last year and a little bit of time since before I was there as well, there's been a really good group growing together all around the same age. And I always take encouragement when working with young people when they ask questions, and they're asking really good questions. The downside is there's almost not enough time to answer them. You know, we took them out at the mini golf one night and just on the journey. One of them was asking me lots of questions and we arrived and that put an end to the conversation, which was really unfortunate. But for me, it's just a real encouragement that they're thinking about what we're telling them. They're thinking about the Bible and they actually trust us enough and feel they get on with us as leaders enough to be able to ask those questions and not feel embarrassed or not feel a bit wick about it. I think we are making breakthrough there in the sense that people are, they're thinking about faith at least. And it might come that some of these people don't make commitments, but I can maybe walk away from it and say, I'm confident that they know what they need to know before making this decision.
Thanks, Jason. That's a couple of encouragements there, certainly from the work that you're involved in. And then I guess that kind of message that, you know, God goes before us and doing things that we don't even maybe expect at times. So that's great to hear. Richard, in a few minutes, we're going to hear from Mary, who served on an impact team this summer. You hosted one of those teams in Christchurch. Maybe briefly, can you just describe what did that look like and how did it help to enable mission in the local estate?
Yeah, we had a great time with the impact team in August. Over 3 afternoons that the team were with us, we were running our summer scheme, which is really like a Holy Bible Club format, running that for primary school age in the afternoon. With over 100 children from the local area were registered for it. And when we put out our consent forms, I sneak in the question, what church do you belong to? And just asking for people to declare whether Christchurch or somewhere else or none. And over half of those who were signed up just said no church. And even of those who were declaring a church, a lot of them aren't actively involved. So probably about 80% of the children aren't connected with church in a meaningful way. So we had a big number to come. We would have struggled to deal with them all by ourselves. We would have had to cut numbers a lot lower if we'd been trying just to run it on our own. So having the impact team enabled us to have a lot more people and children able to come along. The 6 members of the impact team that we had, we got them involved with a lot of upfront work, leading from the front, telling the story, leading games, organising craft, all of these sorts of activities, which then allowed our own leaders who were there just to be more directly involved with the children who were coming, getting to know them, to spend time with them, with the hope that then those connections will all help into the long-term continuity of the work, as we'll have opportunity to see these children and young people again. In the evenings, we had teenagers across the 3 evenings. Numbers for it were a lot smaller, but it was really good for the young people who we had coming along to be able to see Christians who were closer in age to they are as when you talk to some of the teenagers now and you realise that their parents are younger than I am, it really sort of sets you in context for what you're doing. And so to have the young people there who were age 16 to 21, the team members, and our young people attending could then see, well, here's Christians just a little bit older than me, but here they are active in their faith and living that out. Each of the nights, one of the Impact team members shared their testimony. And again, it's really good just to speak to somebody saying, oh, I'm in, you know, I've just done my GCSEs and here I am as a Christian thinking, what's the future going to look like for me? And so for a 14-year-old to hear that, you know, it really has a good impact on them, and it's great to do. On the Sunday, then, the team were with us again and were involved in different aspects of the service. And it was encouraging to see some of those who'd been involved over the week coming along on the Sunday. And it's just a surprise encouragement you get of that, of one of the teenagers coming and even asking, you know, can we come to church? And you say, of course you can. And so a teenager comes along, brings his wee brother along with him to church, and the pair of them get out and come. It's great, great just to see that in terms of the work and the follow through of that. And it gives us then a good basis as a church for the work that we're doing on through the year to build on that. And for me, just within the local church leadership, where we're in a situation where we have some volunteers and some capacity in what we can do ourselves, but the number of children and young people wanting to engage is far beyond what we could manage, it's a really good form of partnership whereby we can bring our own input to that of our own leaders, but also have help from outside that enables us to do more than what we could do on our own. And hopefully for the team members who came, we're able to get a good experience of being with us. It was a good chance for them to be away from their own churches where they've been involved, to go somewhere new, which is quite daunting for them in some ways, but they really rose to it very well. And it was hopefully a good experience for them away from their own setting, just building their own confidence and experience in service within the church.
Thanks, Richard. And it's great to hear that positive feedback about Impact. And we're already kind of looking at what Impact might look like for next summer. Can I ask each of you just to finish briefly just sharing a passage of scripture that refines and shapes your own thinking around our need to be involved in urban mission? So, Jason, do you want to start?
Yeah, the one that really speaks to me is actually just that verse in the Zacchaeus story, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And I think actually, especially reflecting on this over the past week when the census results have come out and shown such a huge increase in people declaring no religion. And yet I think people are looking for some kind of truth. People are looking for some kind of foundation to build their lives on. And I think we as Christians, you know, we have that hope in the gospel to be able to offer people. But I think the thing we really need to emphasize in that passage is the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And I think we need to be casting it out. We need to be looking for people. We need to be actively seeking people who we think need to hear the gospel. And there might be a negative spin on that, saying, oh, you're targeting this person for this reason. But I think it's more the case of actually letting people know that we're open, showing that we are present in the community, and sort of seeking people that way, as in casting a wide net as opposed to targeting individuals. Because I think when people know that, you know, we want to see more people come in, they'll feel more welcome and they'll be more likely to come in and hopefully respond to the wonderful message of the gospel.
Thanks. Felix?
That's good. Thank you for that, Jason. Yeah, so I have got in mind Luke 14, where Jesus tells the parable of a great banquet where the people who are originally invited, they make up like the lamest excuses and they don't want to come. And then the master of the house, the person hosting the party, says, go out into the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in. You know, go to the streets and alleys of the town, bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And it's a really powerful story because firstly, I need to remember that I am one of those who's been gathered in, you know, latterly. I'm the crippled and the lame that have been brought into this party that I've got no right to be part of. And it's an amazing display of God's grace that I'm part of this party. And so, yeah, it'd be, because this party is open for everyone, it would be absolutely nuts for me to keep this invitation to myself. And also that the people that I might encounter, I mean, I work for a Christian organization, but you know, when I worked in another profession, my colleagues may not have any kind of interest in the gospel, but doesn't mean that other people, the people that I encounter on the streets, people who are different from me and yeah, of a different culture or different socioeconomic status, like it doesn't mean that they will reject this offer. And so yeah, I think it's just a really powerful story that speaks to our need to be more generous and indiscriminate in the way that we just share the invitation of Christ with people.
And Richard?
Yeah, a verse that has spoken to me over, really about 20 years ago, I think it came to my attention in relation to this, was just from the end of the book of Jonah, just the very last verse of that, where, you know, we know the story of Jonah where he goes, there's a great revival within the city, and then basically he goes in a huff after that. And it's the last verse of Jonah, of chapter 4, verse 11, where God says to him, "Should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" And in terms of thinking about what relates to urban mission, what makes somewhere urban is a density of people. There's a lot of people in the area, and I think that urban mission matters because people matter to God. And where there's a density of people, it's not to say rural areas, there's an important mission to do there as well, but within urban areas there's a lot of people, and often people who haven't had great contact to the gospel. And that description, it's almost funny in that sense of, you know, the people who can't tell their right hand from their left. But it's a description of people, whether they're in an urban area or another area, who are living without Christ, and that sense of lostness that people have, and particularly seen worked out in many ways for people at the minute in terms of a lack of hope, of despair, of uncertainty, and being thrown around by many of the challenges that we're facing globally at the minute and over the last few years. And so it's that speaks within that of God's concern for the people, concern, the mercy, the compassion for the city of Nineveh, the 120,000 people who are there. And that same compassion that comes to us, I think it connects through into Matthew 9 as well, when Jesus sees the crowds and has compassion for them. It's that same spirit of God running through that. That's something that when God is that concerned, then surely we're called to share in that as well.
Those are some great reminders from Scripture of God's plan to seek and save the lost, that idea that we need to cast the net wider, that we need to go into the country lanes and byways. We need to be people who are active in that regard, conscious that we were in those by lanes and country lanes. And yeah, and just that reminder, I suppose, as well, about the importance of urban areas as the density of people, and that people matter. So thanks to Jason and Felix and Richard for sharing those reflections, and for joining us today on this podcast to reflect on urban ministry. If you are involved and you're listening to this and you're involved in full-time or part-time ministry in an urban or estate context within PCI, and would like to hear more about our Urban Mission Network, then send an email to mission@presbyterianireland.org and I will respond to that. A series of blogs was written over the summer called Getting Going Again, and they might be worth checking out if you are involved in leadership at any level within a congregation and you want to think about your own congregation's local witness in terms of its profile or its provision or its presence in the community, or preludes, which is some of those steps that maybe you find it difficult and making those small steps between people coming into some of your organizations but not coming into a Sunday service, and also the ways that we can prepare people for sharing their own faith. So Getting Going Again, a series of 5 blogs that might be worth looking up on the PCI website for your congregation. As mentioned already, Impact was a PCI program in August that brought together 18 young people from across Ireland to serve in urban mission in 3 different congregations in Belfast. Mary Leshy from Galway was one of those team members and is joining today to share her experience. Welcome to the podcast, Mary.
Thank you.
Can you introduce yourself and tell us a bit about what you're doing and the church that you're part of?
Well, my name's Mary Leshy. I'm from Galway and I'm a student currently studying law and Spanish in the University of Galway. And I'm part of the United Church of Galway.
Great. We've already heard how Impact involved 3 teams serving in different congregations around Belfast. But an important aspect of the programme was everyone gathering each morning for worship and Bible teaching led by Pete Wright. Can you say something that stood out as being significant from those times of being gathered?
I would say definitely after we had received the message and we were sent out to spend time with one another in our groups, speaking about the messages and how it applied to us, how it impacted us, and how we could share it with one another, and kind of like how it says in Hebrews 10:25, encourage one another in faith and good works, and be able to relate with one another and say, I have struggled with this sin myself, in this area in my life, that when he spoke of that particular subject, it really touched me because I know I've dealt with this, and to be able to encourage the other, remembering that I've done this or the other person has had that same experience, and be able to relate and encourage one another and go back to scripture and remember what the Bible says with regards to it. And that was definitely one important part, because sometimes we tend to walk out of the messages and just not speak about it again. Whereas we were like encouraged to go out, take 30 minutes after the message to share with one another, to speak with one another and to encourage one another, which definitely stuck out to me the most.
Yeah, that's really good to hear that. And I suppose giving that little bit of space for people to think, how does this connect? How does what we've heard connect with my life and with what we're about to go and do as we serve in mission as well? And yeah, those gather times, I found a real energy in the room, and it was just great to kind of have that kind of bunch of people together in the mornings.
Yeah.
So after the gathering, you grabbed your lunch and you headed off to your congregation. So can you tell us, where were you serving? What were you doing? And one story maybe of how you saw the impact of the gospel there.
Okay. So I was serving in Fitzroy Presbyterian Church. And what I did there, well, mainly I was helping around with the kids and with the kids talk and sharing a bit of the message with the older teenagers. And I say how I saw the impact of the gospel the most would have been when we had an influx of children from refugees and asylum seekers who had joined our church. And many of them came from Muslim backgrounds. However, they were open to hearing the word of God. And I remember speaking with some of them and getting closer with some of those children and being able to ask them, what did you learn from this message, whatnot. I remember speaking with one Nigerian girl who was Muslim, and she had told me, like, she didn't really understand when we did the story of the prodigal son, and to be able to explain to her who Jesus was, to explain to her how loving, how deep the Father's love is and how important it was and the necessity for Jesus Christ to come and to die on the cross for our sins. It was very like encouraging to see that although she may not necessarily have understood, it was her one chance to hear the gospel and for the rest of those children. And definitely I saw the impact of the gospel there as well amongst my group and amongst how we all interact with one another. Whoever did the message, when for the children especially, when we would go into the smaller groups and speak with them and do the crafts with them or whatnot, we would then go and ask each individual child, like in a one-on-one conversation, to reinforce what had already been taught. And you saw like the community and how we all worked with one another to make sure that the kids heard the word of God, the kids were able to understand the word of God and be able to ask questions where they didn't understand.
I mean, that's great. It really encouraging just to hear some of your experience there and the impact in Fitzroy. And I know church there were really encouraged by the impact team that were with them for those few days. And so the vision of impact was that teams would gather in the morning, and then they would go and serve in their congregations, and then they would grow. And we've explained the first two of those areas already. So now we're 6 weeks on from impact. Can you share how you think the experience has helped you grow in your faith, and if that has maybe had any impact on how you're serving now in Galway?
Well, I definitely think it helped me grow, especially in my knowledge of scripture and in my desire to read the word of God more, especially as we were with those teenagers, with the young people, and wanting to know scripture to be able to answer their questions, wanting to study the word of God more, to be able to give them more examples, to be able to point them more back to scripture more and more. And that impacted me a lot, because when I went there, I didn't realize that I would want to know so much so I could share as much with the young people, with the kids. And it impacted me and definitely impacted in my serving at church as well, because when I came back, I was able to assume my role as a youth leader within my church, and to be able to reach out to the young kids and continue to guide them back to the word of God, continue to draw everything back to God's word that's perfect, that is full and sufficient in and of itself. And it was just very encouraging to see that like zeal for them to want to open the word of God, not just rely on what I say, but see what the Lord has said in his word, in his perfect inerrant word. So it was definitely what has impacted me definitely the most from the impact group.
Thank you, Mary, so much just for taking that time to share your experience. And I hope that actually will be an encouragement to young people out there who might be listening in to maybe consider PCI's impact or summer teams next year. Before we finish today, let me remind you to keep an eye on PCI social media channels, where you can be kept up to date with what's going on across the denomination. And please sign up to receive our regular Equip email that will notify you of upcoming PCI events and resources
at presbyterianireland.org/equip. But that's all for this episode, and we hope you will join us next time as Andrew Dixon will be hosting a conversation about a new resource called Daring to Hope. Until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.